The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
70-KMED.
And this is KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG Grants Pass, and Vicki is in the Applegate. Hi, Vicki.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. Good weekend, I hope?
I just had a comment about what your last guest said.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's Ed Bartlett from Save Services. Go ahead.
Okay, Ed, yeah. Well, first of all, I do believe that there is a stigma attached to white men. With all of the different ethnicities that are coming across the border and that are already here, the white people, and a lot of people might disagree, but we're kind of the minority now. We're not the majority anymore, which, okay, this is a melting pot. I get it.
No, I don't think we are a melting pot. I think we're a tossed salad at this point. I would tend to disagree.
I think we're a hot mess.
Yeah, because everyone is supposed to maintain their individual ethnic identity, except white people. Because if ethnic white people have an identity of some sort, then that becomes white supremacy. But everybody else is supposed to be able to keep theirs, right? In our system. So that's sort of the way I see that, the way it's been playing out the last 20 years or so.
Yeah. And now, you know, I'm up in the Applegate. I only go to town once or twice a month. And there is a movement with men. I haven't really seen any women, but there's a movement with older men, young men, they drive around in these big trucks and SUVs with the flags,
uh-huh,
the American flag,
right,
on the backs of their vehicles. And I've had the opportunity to stop and talk to them. And I think that in Oregon, because we're considered a Democratic state, we're really starting to swing the other way. I think that Trump really should come here and not necessarily to Portland or the bigger places, but Medford, the Rogue Valley, and see how much support he actually has here. Back in 2016, a lot of people were like Trump supporters in the closet. And a lot of them are coming out now. A lot of them are voicing. I walk through the grocery stores, and you can kind of see the people that are more open and not afraid to talk about how.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you'll definitely see that here in Southern Oregon. The thing is, though, is that the numbers aren't there, because if the numbers truly were there to put Oregon in play, if we were a battleground state, Trump would be here. I assure you, he would be here. Because you have to understand that the true believers of the Kamala cause are the majority of the state because of Portland, Multnomah County, and in that Salem area. No amount of appearances of President Trump will likely change that right now. Demographically, there are two Oregons, essentially. There's the rural and southern Oregon and eastern Oregon and parts of the coast, and then there's all the rest of it.
No. Right, and that was my question to you. Do you think all collectively, with the bottom half of Oregon, even though we're spread out, the numbers, do you think it's even anywhere close to Portland's numbers?
No.
Or,
no, we're not.
You know, up north?
No, we're not, unfortunately. I wish we were.
Well, I just wish somebody would, put this image out that there are a ton of men here that support Trump. Almost everyone I talk to that's a man is sick of the economy, sick of all the crap that they're trying to push on us. And the majority of the people I talk to are men.
And that, it's very true. No, I get that completely, and I'm totally in support of where you're coming from.
Yeah.
And where we as Republicans have to concentrate, and it's great, we vote for Trump, we're going to vote for Trump, it's fine. Doubtful that Oregon is in play for Trump, otherwise he would be here, I assure you, if he thought that it was grabbable. But you can't afford to take money and time against from the other seven states. There are seven states right now that essentially elect the president right now in Electoral College. And, you know, the ones we've been talking all about, everything from, Nevada and to a lesser extent, but I think Trump's pulled ahead there. Georgia, right. Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Michigan, all those kind of ones that are the ones. Everybody else is pretty much, cast in particular roles, and we're most likely blue. And since we do have winner takes all rather than proportional electoral college awarding, that's the way it goes. Now, I suppose it could be really interesting if you ended up changing the Electoral College back to a system of in which it's proportional. Right. So if you had 60% of the electoral votes going for Harris, she would get 60% of the electoral votes from Oregon. And if you had, and then 40% of them, roughly speaking, would then go to Trump, that would certainly change things around. But most of the states are winner take all in their Electoral College. The way that works.
Yeah, people are so gun shy about the voting system after what we've went through the last 2 years, and I know that just speaking to my friends in the Applegate, speaking to the people I know in town, there's so many people that just don't agree with what's going on in the schools, don't agree with what's going on in jobs.
And then if you were to go into Ashland, let's say, or to downtown Portland, you would find it completely different. It really is. They really are different worlds. Living.
Ashland is more like San Francisco.
Absolutely. Absolutely. God bless them. That's just the way it is. You know what? Where I think Republicans have to take their electoral energy, take support for Trump, though, and roll it into the state Republicans who are running like the Dennis Linthicums and doing their best to try to get that. That's a high bar lift, to lift right now, to get any Republican in a statewide office right now, being realistic about this. And also, I would dare say, put your energy into defeating each and every one of the state ballot measures. There's five of them that need to be, and that's kind of where we need to focus. And, take our support for Trump and leverage that into trying to do what we can at a state level, too. Whether or not it affects the Electoral College, it probably won't this time. That's just the reality of Oregon demographics. But that doesn't mean that you sit around and stay at home. Staying at home, you make it a fait accompli, okay?
Well, that's what's scary, Bill, because I have children that are in their 30s and 40s. And at this juncture, they believe that for whatever reason, their vote doesn't matter. Their vote doesn't make a difference. Their vote is they're to the point where they don't even feel like, why waste your time, like you were saying earlier? And
well, I assure you that if you don't, you have ensured that your vote doesn't make a difference. OK,
right.
That's all there is to it. Yeah,
I try to explain it to them. And I think the older generation really realizes that it does make a difference. You can have a voice. And the younger generation, because of, they're just so much different than how I grew up.
Yeah. I appreciate the conversation, and thanks so much there, Vicki. Thanks for sharing your thoughts on that. It's 9 minutes after 7. I'm running a little bit behind there, but appreciate the call. I always end up running behind. I try to be so disciplined. That's why I'll never be a national talk show host. Because, you have to be able to hit top of the hour. You have to be out. And then it doesn't matter how good the conversation is you're having, you can't continue it. But we're able to do that because we're a small town and we care. Now, this is the Bill Myers Show. Let's catch up with Town Hall News in just a moment. And Chris Barnett running for Josephine County Commission. And some drama going on up there. We'll kind of get to the bottom of it and be right back with him.
Life's busy and off is not an option.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on Southern Oregon's home for conservative talk. Mornings on KMED and 99.3 KBXG. Call Bill at 770-5633. That's 770-KMED. Here's Bill Myers.
Delighted to have you here. 16 after 7, Chris Barnett joins me. He's a candidate for the Josephine County Board of Commissioners. And he is running for the seat that was formerly held by Dandy Young, who ended up resigning from the board here not too long ago. And Chris, good to have you on. By the way, votechrisbarnett.com is the website. Welcome back to the show, Chris. How are you doing this morning?
Thank you, Bill. Thank you. Good morning to you.
Happy okay. Fall. All right. Well, first thing I had to ask you this morning is, you know, I talk to Herman every week about a lot of things that are going on in Josephine County, and there's certainly some challenges coming up for the county because inflation has been causing challenges because wages and expenses going way up. But taxes only go up about 2-3% a year, as the case might be. And so you can see how things are going to be challenging in 2025 and beyond. Why the heck would you want to get involved in being a county commissioner at this point in the juncture? Tell me what you're thinking.
Well, you know, the citizens of Josephine County need some help. They are crying out loud saying, please, can we get some good representation? And Herman's great. All the commissioners that have been there, you know, they try their best to do whatever they can, and I commend them for it. I am going in this realm for the people of Josephine County to have a voice. And one thing I hear a lot of, they feel out of touch with their representatives. And really, a county commissioner represents the taxpayers that are in there as a liaison between us and the government, which is the employees and the departments of the county. People forget that a lot, that if you have a problem, Bill, with your street in the county and you can't get it resolved with the department head, you're going to call your county commissioner, and the county commissioner is going to intervene and go, hey, department head, what's going on with Bill Street? Can you please look into this? He really needs it fixed. I get back to you, Bill, and say, hey, I got it resolved. I'll be out there tomorrow. You're going to be, thank you, county commissioner. So we are working for the people and the taxpayers. I hate when people think that we're above everybody and we're up there. You know, it's not like that at all. We're elected and voted in by the people for the people to have a balance between big government and the citizens.
Okay.
That's how I view it.
All right. Now, has the current board been unresponsive to the citizens? Because you said that when you started off that, you know, people are acting like they don't have a voice in there. Are they not listening? Has there been times that this has happened? How do you judge the temperature of the board?
Well, here's the thing. I go to all the commissioner meetings and I watch them on Zoom. I think a lot of people just don't get involved as much, Bill. I think that communication is what I want to bring to the table with social media, videos, mm-hmm. podcasts, stuff like that, just to get out. Now, the county commissioners are doing whatever they can right now to get their word out, and they're doing a great job. I think that people just want more of it in a different fashion to meet today's times. And I, you know, the reading a newspaper is a thing of the past. People just don't read the whole thing, bits and pieces. Radio's great. Of course, you know that. Social media, things on the go. And I think that we could do a better job in government as a whole of communicating with the taxpayers and the citizens of what their needs are. You know, you can't do everything, Bill, but you can try. And I just think that people just want, they feel like they're not being heard, but you have a chance every Wednesday to go speak your mind at the Board of Commissioners meeting every Wednesday at 9.
All right.
So I encourage people to do that.
Okay, Chris, you've been, what, a real estate guy, 24 years. I know you do a it's part-time on KJO and KLDR on the weekend, too, so you're also a radio person, and you have the gift of gab, no doubt, okay?
So. Do that, and I'm in the Air Force Auxiliary, so mm-hmm. I've been in doing that.
What did you do in the Air Force when you were serving back then full time?
Security forces was my major part of my career, which is, you know, military police, and then I was a superintendent once I made the top NCO rank of Chief Master Sergeant. I was a superintendent at the state level, and then now I'm a superintendent command chief for the region for 6 states.
All right. Hey, wanted to touch in with you. What do you think about, now I know you're not on the board yet, okay? So, but I can ask you your opinion on how things have been running here so far. There has been some criticism laid at the current board over the consolidation of certain departments, such as the hiring of Michael Sellers. Now, I know Michael Sellers. I've had no problem with him, but other people have been. There's been a, shall we say, a lot of dirt kind of boiling up over in Josephine County. Is that department working well, the combination of two departments into Michael Sellers? Do you agree with what happened there?
Yeah, I do. I feel like we have a lot of departments that are too big. And here's what happens in big government. Department of Defense is the same way, Bill. Mm-hmm. We have departments that we don't want to lay off the employee, but we keep on keeping the budget there for that employee. So what happens is we don't know how to let go of our staff once we hire them. And it's a big problem. That's why government has gotten so big across the nation. We are compassionate. We don't want to fire somebody. We don't want to let somebody go because of a budget cut. But when budget cuts happen, you have to consolidate your departments. We've done it in the Air Force. I've been part of that. Downsizing, when Obama cut the budget, we all had to do more with less, and we had to take over other positions. I had four different hats, and four different jobs that we used to have four people to do. They cut the other three. They kept me. I did the job of four. So, and you know what? It worked, and we saved money, and we found out that we didn't need the extra, because what happens when you have too many employees, you don't have enough for them to do. And when the cat's gone, the mice will play, you know, and I believe in a great staff of morale and enthusiasm for the job. I've always been part of a team, no matter where I worked, Bill, even at radio stations, you know, you have your team. And sometimes I had to clean the toilet at night, you know what I mean? And
been there, done it.
Part of the job.
Okay. All right. So you're okay with that particular hire. That's fine. Just wanted to find out. Let us focus then. Law enforcement is... what would you change, if anything at all, or you think that kind of staying the course when it comes to level of law enforcement funding that that has been occurring in Josephine County? I know that there's now you have the levy that is helping out. Some are grousing that the county commission still ended up cutting back some on what the sheriff's department has.
Yeah, I think everything. I mean, it's $11 million shortfall, so you got to cut something everywhere. The sheriff's department is I support, and I think public safety is one of my number one priorities out there. So I will definitely be an advocate for law enforcement, because most people agree on that one. They want it. However, if we don't have the money for it, I know the levy got passed, so that's going to help. But I'm a big advocate of the reserve program. I was part of the reserve program, volunteer force of the sheriff's department, which means my labor was free. I volunteered, went through a class, got certified, was out helping those deputies. So when you have more people out on the street, it appears that we have more coverage, and it is. But I would like to work with Sheriff Daniel. I mean, he's his own elected official, but I definitely would like to help him get that reserve program back up and running, because that would help.
Aren't there limitations to what you can do with reserves? And the reason I bring this up is that it's kind of like if you have an intern, you can't technically take your intern and replace a paid person with an intern, so to speak. And I'm wondering if there are similar rules when it comes to setting up reserves.
They have the same arresting powers as the full-time deputy.
They do.
So
okay.
Here's the thing. They do. They're certified. You go through a class at the college. You get certified, DP, SST. And here's the thing. It's kind of like the reservist. I was a reservist for many years. I was a reserve police officer. So every time I went to the base, the full-timers would have to say, well, you guys haven't been doing this every day, so we don't know if we want to allow you on the street. And it's like, well, how are we supposed to learn if you don't give us a chance? So we had that battle, but the reserve force was the biggest force they had. So we had to finally tell the active duty to step aside, so we can do our jobs. And we became proficient. We deployed in war, and we proved ourselves. So the reserves, yeah, they may not do it every day, but they are definitely a good augment force. And I think it's much needed, and it doesn't cost the taxpayers anything.
Chris Barnett is running for Josephine County Commission. Vote ChrisBarnett.com. Chris, what would you change that you think could be done better in Josephine County, if anything at all? And if you could maybe give us a specific or two, please.
You know, unity in the community is one of my big things. I'm out in the community a lot doing videos and visiting businesses and visiting citizens, and I post those out there. I want people to feel good about their elected officials, like they have a one-on-one relationship. They can come to those. We have three commissioners, and I tell everybody all the time, you can go to any one of those three. Well, And I'm like, no, you can. You can email them. You can call them. You can come to the meeting and talk to them. All the commissioners are very much welcome the open door policy, but the citizens have got to reach out to them. So I want to be out more in the community. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I like to do is I like visiting businesses, visiting the people, get input on the street. Being in radio as many years as I have, I love being in with events. I love it. So that's one of my things that I'm going to do is cover as many events as I can and let people know who their representatives are.
All right. Now, you're a realtor and you're a member of the Rogue Valley Association of Realtors, no doubt, right? Just want to be clear.
Correct.
All right.
24 years.
All right. What is going on over at the RVAR? And because I noticed that they've endorsed your opponent, for one thing. But I also remember that the RVAR ended up coming out with a scathing attack. There was like a survey done or a hit piece a number of months ago that was done. And I'm still not really sure how that happened coming out of the RVAR. And what's happening there?
Well, they went political. So they got in the political realm way too much. And Salem is driving this down. And when that letter came out about the county commissioners, and the people didn't even know who their county commissioners were when you read the survey. Mm-hmm. It was just ridiculous. So we pressed it a little bit. Why did the survey go out? Why does this have any impact on how we do things as realtors? Had nothing. It was all political, Bill. All political at all. And I'm really disappointed with the Rogue Valley Association of Realtors. We have other options. I think that we're looking at opting out because we don't agree with what they're doing for the realtors. They're not helping my business, and they've never helped my business. That's what's unfortunate, not just because they didn't donate to my campaign. I did a great interview, Bill. Absolutely awesome interview with this. And they give my opponent money. She's only been in the business maybe 4 or 5 years. I've been in 24 years paying my dues. The right thing to do in that instance was to support both your members, but they didn't. Mm. And it really gives them a black eye. It really hurts them.
So you think RVR is getting more politicized? Is that your opinion? Or?
Oh, yeah. They're going into territory they shouldn't. And we've called them. My wife's a broker, principal broker as well, like me. And we have talked to RVR. We've talked to the board president. We've had meetings with them. It has gotten so political over there at RVR. It's unbelievable.
Was RVR, I don't know if you can answer this question or not, though, but I'm just kind of wondering for my own own personal decision-making here, is RVAR, were they in favor of the charter change and going to 5 commissioners and going to an administrator? Do you know?
That one I don't know, Bill. I don't know if they were for that or they took a neutral position on it. What I've seen come down the pike, because they don't communicate good enough with us realtors. That's been a big problem that we keep saying, like, hey, How come you guys are making these rules? How come you're sending out these letters when we're not even getting informed? And that's been a big problem is a communication with RVAR and realtors.
All right. Yeah. Now, Chris, there is another issue involving real estate that we are going to bring up here. And this has to do with you took a donation for $4,000 from Commissioner John West, currently on the board. And some folks have been having some issue with that. The appearance of I think the term is called you're in the pocket, so to speak, is what they're claiming. Now, what would you say to that?
Yeah.
Because
You know, it's not against the law. And here's the thing. When you're on OreStar and you have a website, you can go to right now to my website, votechrisbarnett.com, donate. And I don't even know who donates to my campaign for like a week when it hits OreStar. And that's what's amazing is I had no idea Mr. West was donating to my campaign. But when he did, it was like, well, thank you. You know, he's been a customer of Realty Executives for 15 years. So on and off, he's used our firm. He's used us to help him. And I didn't even know he was a commissioner. He wasn't a commissioner then. And everything that we've done was prior and grandfathered in. So if some people look at that as a weird thing, they should look into everybody, all the politicians, and see what business entities they have with them currently. Now, I'm a citizen. I'm not elected in. So if people want to look at that, ooh, that's so weird. No, because if you look at my opponents, you look at their donors. Do you want me to scrutinize them? I'm not even going to go there, Bill. It's like
I don't have trouble with anybody scrutinizing anybody's donors because you know it is political speech. Now, the point being, though, Is this a situation where, you know, he's your guy, so to speak, you know, on the board? And, you know, what does this mean? What does this mean here? And especially now that he's been a customer of yours, too. And what would happen if you would get elected? What would happen to that being a customer thing?
John West knows I do good work. I've done good work in my real estate company for 24 years, helping him. And he's a customer, just like if the mayor was a customer, you were a customer, other public officials. If I could start naming all my clients out there, you'd be like, oh, is that a conflict of interest? You know what I mean? We could go down that rabbit hole.
Okay, what would you do then to remove any potential of conflict? What could be done?
So I went to, and I said, I think the Courier posted something about it, and I said, hey, look, if I get elected commissioner and it's a conflict of interest and it's not legal to do that through the Ethics Commission, I will recuse myself from doing business. So I will not do that anymore, and I only have like one piece of property that's pending right now. So if that comes in November and I get elected, I will back off from that and let somebody else do it. So I will recuse myself.
All right. Hey, Chris, before we take off, I always give a candidate a chance to do the 30-second elevator pitch. I don't know how many elevators are in Grants Pass, but maybe you could just let me know. You know, if you have trapped someone in the elevator with you for the 30-second ride, how would you tell them why they need to vote for you?
Well, community service is important to me. My whole life, I've served others first, and now I want to serve you as your next county commissioner. I want to aim high with everybody. That's what the Air Force has taught me. I want public safety for all citizens and people visiting this county. I want to put trust back in government, unity in the community, keep taxes low, and a budget balanced common sense-wise, loosen regulations on housing and protect property rights, and finally, make sure veterans keep vital services, and we want to honor our veterans, such as I'm a veteran as well, still serving veteran, but I want us to go positive, not negative, for 2024, Bill.
Vote ChrisBarnett.com is the website. Chris, pleasure talking. Thanks for being on, okay? Love you back.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. 733 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG.
Since 1979, Dusty's Transmissions has the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
735, Teresa Caldwell joins me from the Ashland. I just want to make sure I get that. Ashland Gun and Archery Club. That's the full name now, isn't it, Teresa? Welcome back.
That is correct. We also have a great lineup for archers there at the gun club.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know about that. And on that note, I wanted to make sure people know about an event going on this coming Saturday. And why don't you tell us all about this? And it's about sighting in. It's a sighting in day, right? What do you do?
Yes, that is correct. It's actually a sighting in and open house day. And it's Saturday from 9 to 4 and Sunday from 9 to 3. And it's sighting in. It's open public access to the public. And what happens is this year is really big because we've got some people bringing in. It's Black Flag Armory and the Ashland, Oregon non-lead hunting education program will be available for testing. Uh-huh. And testing, which is going to be for non-lead ammunition. So there'll be an ammunition free available to test in your rifle.
So do you actually? I didn't realize that there was the thing about testing your ammo. I didn't know that. Okay.
Well, they're doing a testing, and so they're going to be providing free ammunition for people that want to get in on the, you know, testing out and seeing how they work in their own guns and rifles.
Can all the can all firearms use lead free, or is that something which varies from a rifle to rifle?
You know,
I'm not an expert on the hunting thing. That's why I'm asking.
I'm not available. I'm not really up on that either. All I know is that those interested can test out different brands and calibers of non-lead ammunition for free to find out which one shoots the best out of their rifle.
Oh, so okay. Now that, all right. All right. That makes sense because the rules are for hunting that you're supposed to be using non-lead in many cases. Is that the rule now? The reg?
That is correct.
Got it. All right.
In some places. I'm not really up on the laws of that because, you know, while I like shooting sports, I'm not a hunter.
Okay. Well, that's okay. I like shooting sports, too. Not a hunter. But God bless the people who are. And that's what this sighting in is for. Actually, it's for anybody who has, archery or firearms, and you want to go out there, try out different ammunition. And is there any admission cost on this open house for Saturday or Sunday, Teresa?
No, it is free. Free to the public.
All right, very good. Hey, I'm going to put the information up there, but thanks for sharing a few bits about that. So 9 to 4 both days or 9 to 4 Saturday, and what's the time on Sunday if it's different?
9 to 3 on Sunday.
Okay, 1 hour shorter. All right, you got to get things cleaned up, right?
Yeah, and the lady shooters are also be out there. They also meet on Sundays from 1 to 3, and it's a sub club there for the ladies shooting, only ladies.
All right.
And that. They take over one of the bays.
Very good. Teresa, I appreciate you sharing the news for this next weekend, okay? Thanks again.
You're welcome. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you bet. Teresa Caldwell. It's 7:38 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG. We'll catch up on some news here then. And the SAVE Act went down in flames. Is, you know, the SAVE Act about requiring that you prove your citizenship in order to register for vote. For voting. That did not happen in Congress. They ended up doing a continuing resolution through the end of the year. We'll talk about that if you want. But there's an attempt to make the SAVE Act part of Oregon law. We'll talk with State Rep. Dwayne Yunker about that in a flash.
We're here with Susan, who had her well drilled by clouds.
Corey with Patriot Electric, and I'm on KMED.
7:43, State Representative Dwayne Yunker. Unfortunately, he's stuck in construction up in Salem right now. I guess they're beating up everything around you here this morning, Representative. Good to have you back on. Hello, Dwayne.
Yes, I have the window. It's my window outside my desk is very close to the grinding and pounding most of the time.
All right. Well, earplugs might be in order here. But what are you actually doing up in Salem right now? We're out of legislative operations for the most part. What's going on?
So, yeah, what's legislative days, which is more of committee days, just working through committees for the next 3 days. So each committee is, I'm in three. And so we'll be listening to speakers or proposing things for next session in 25. Probably trying to bore me because some of it is very boring. I'm sorry.
Yeah, which committees are you on, just out of curiosity?
I'm on healthcare. I'm on judiciary and business.
Okay. All right. Very good. And some of it's boring. Oh, well, you have to do it. Let me talk about
some of it is like, are you trying to do this on purpose? So I,
there's something I kind of like about you, Dwayne, is that you don't suffer fools very easily. I appreciate that aspect of it. And I suffer fools more easily than you do, I think. But anyway, yeah. State Rep. Dwayne Yunker, news release came out on Friday. Now, the SAVE Act, which was the congressional act that was passed by Congress to require that you prove citizenship in order to register for voting. That ended up not happening over in Congress because they ended up doing a continuing resolution on Friday. I think it was late on Friday. And they're going to pay for the federal government through the end of December, which means it's going to be a big Christmas time thing. But you can't do anything about that. But you and a few other state reps say that you wanted to bring a version of the SAVE Act to Oregon. And given that we had the state admitting to at least a few hundred illegal aliens being signed up and registered to vote in the motor voter and such like that, this is kind of interesting. What are you thinking?
Well, I think it was, excuse me, they're not totally being honest about what happened. So, you know, the audit they found with 306 people was not brought in by them themselves. Some outside group is called Institute of Responsible Government, a Chicago-based nonprofit. They're the ones that first raised the question. So it wasn't like they were doing an internal audit and we just happened to find these people.
Oh, okay. So my suspicion then that, okay, we have 300 or so admitted from this nonprofits deal. This was not the Secretary of State, the current Democrat Secretary of State doing this. This is an outsider. So this is all they'll admit to at this time, right?
Yeah, the nonprofit brought it to their attention. And so, you know, I've been looking at Oklahoma. Oklahoma is about the same size population as Oregon. And in the last few years, they found over 400,000 ineligible voters. So, I mean, but Oklahoma is actually doing their job, though. They're going through their rolls monthly and yearly and, you know, making sure if someone registered in another state, they're doing all the things they should be doing. Not here in Oregon, we're trying to register as many people as we can and not verify their eligibility.
Okay. So what would you then propose for the state of Oregon? I know that you and Ed Deal, E. Warner Reschke out of K Falls, Anna Scharf, and you you know, are part of this call then to bring a SAVE Act once again for the state of Oregon. How would that work?
Yeah, we have about five separate bills we're going to be pushing through, which I've already started the SAVE Act. And part of that is obviously you're using the, it's called the American Vote Verification System, through the Social Security Administration, because you have to verify, because there's illegals that have Social Security numbers. You have to verify that they're actually a citizen. So there's that. We want to repeal the motor voter law, you know, automatic restoration, because what is the DMV doing in the voter restoration business? They have their own problems. And then, you know, right now they want to repeal, we want to repeal the Oregon Health Plan voter law. So they want, you know, Oregon wants to register everybody through Medicaid and stuff like that. And we want the Secretary of State to produce and publish detailed monthly voter list maintenance reports. And it builds for counties to give them tools to maintain their voter rolls. We want to have some accountability for the voters. We all deserve to make sure that it's clean, and you know that we have integrity in our voting system. It should not be we're just trying to register everybody possible. Not that we're trying to stop people from voting. We just want to be fair.
So what kind of a database could you take the current voter registration system that we have? If you were to take everyone who's registered to vote in the state of Oregon, could you run that through a government database even right now and find out who is a citizen and who is not based on the identifying aspects of when people sign up to vote? Even what's there right now. Could we do that?
You could use the HAB system, which is the, you know, which is weird because Oregon has taken millions of dollars for the HAVV system. I don't think they've been, from our research, been using the system, but they sure took the money. And there's 25 states that use that system currently, and that would just go through and it would bounce it with the other 25 states to get their registered in a different state. It also would go against the Social Security Administration and see if they're a legal, you know, citizen of the United States. So there is some things they could do today if they actually wanted to. I just don't know if they're being forced to do it, because there's nothing in our law that says you must do this, you know, DMV, you must do this.
Well, all they do, though, is that they ask you, I think they ask you to check. I haven't signed up for a new driver's license recently, but I think all they do is they, if you're being signed up, they ask if you are a citizen, right? They ask you to check something or to check something to assure something, from what I'm told. I don't know for sure.
I got the thing in front of me right now. They just asked you if you are a citizen and then give you, I don't know if you think there's Social Security. I just printed it out this morning. But there's nothing really in here that verifies it. You know what I'm saying? That says, well, are you a legal citizen? That's all it's asking.
Oh, okay. So this is a faith-based voter citizen system, once again. It's like so much of the Oregon voting system here, Representative Yunker, in which it's based on faith. We have faith that people are telling the truth when they sign up.
Yeah. You know, the law, we do have the law does say you have to be a legal citizen. You know, American citizen, but there's nothing verifying and checking this system.
Okay.
I don't know how much of that's happening, and we don't get the answers. You know, we've asked over a week ago for some answers, and they've silenced us. We're up here today.
So we trust, but we don't verify. We trust, but we don't verify is what we do in the state of Oregon.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So
why couldn't they come to our committee meetings this week and give us a brief on what they are doing?
Yeah.
Why don't they do that?
Yeah, my suspicion is that the problem is much larger than what the state is doing. In fact, I thought of that that story of the other week. I was talking with Linthicum about this, who was running for Secretary of State to be the next one. And we both agree that this is like, to me, this is like a limited hangout when the CIA gets caught at something, right? And so, all right, you admit to a little bit of the problem, and that way everyone's going, okay, the voter, illegal aliens voting in elections, it's really small. They know about it, though. They've admitted it, so just go back to sleep, right? You know, I think that's what's going on, a little bit of that here in the state of Oregon. What say you?
I would definitely say if they were up front, they would be here this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And they'd be at the committee, you know, whatever committee that they answer to, and they would be given a brief, and they could be answered questions. Isn't that what, you know, we're supposed to be doing, representatives or senators, asking questions about our voting system? But no, we can't even get them to come here because the Democrats control everything.
Okay, so that's going to bring me to my next question here, Dwayne. You come up with five different bills here for trying to get voter integrity into the state of Oregon. It is controlled by the Democrats. What are your odds of this, that something like this goes through? Because the only bills that get passed are bills the Democrats will agree to, and I would argue that the Democrats like a loosey-goosey voting system. So what do you say?
I would say to people, I said, if you didn't vote, or you're not voting, or your neighbor's not voting, shame on you. Because you know what? That's what's killing us. Because we have a lot of conservatives and independents that want this stuff. You know what? Get out and vote.
Mm-hmm.
Vote the people out. There is races in the state that are very tight. And stop voting the same type of people in. Vote people that are going to demand, you know, oversight. And then they're working for the people, not for the Democratic Party.
All right. Do you expect the Democrats, though, to vote for actually tightening up elections? Do you think that there's a realistic chance that this could happen?
I think there's some there is a small handful of people that are Democrats that know this has to be done because they're where, you know, because as a House person, you're up to vote every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
There is people asking for fair elections, just like in Josephine County or Jackson County. We want fair elections, just like in our, you know, commissioner races, our council races. We want fair elections. That's all we ask of our, you know, these people that run this stuff.
All right. Now, do you actually have legislation written or is it a legislative concept at this point, you know, to tighten up the voting systems, the registration systems? Where are we in this process, Representative Yonker?
So I've already submitted the SAFE Act bill part.
Okay.
I haven't got the rest in there. And again, this won't be until 2025, but I've already submitted this to the legal, which is the people that actually type it all up, you know, make sure it's, you know, it sounds right. I'm not a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go through it and then change anything we think needs to be changed. And then it'll be in committee next year for a vote.
Okay. Now I'm going to be asking the Kevin Starrett type question. All right. Okay. You know, Kevin, right? Over at Oregon Firearms.
I know Kevin very well.
All right. What relating clause are you using? Because, you know, quite often a good Republican bill, because of a relating clause issue, ends up getting gutted and stuffed by those rascally Democrats to turn the SAVE Act that you would come up with into something absolutely different than what you intended. So do you know at this point?
I have not came to that part yet. You know, so we're still in the drafting phases of that. And I understand exactly what he's saying because they love to take an amendment and cut the whole thing out and put it to what they want.
Yeah, and all I say is that when you come up with the relating clause end of it, be very, very careful and very, very tight, you know, on that so that it does. Yeah. So it becomes useless. It becomes useless to the communists in order to you know, take your good act and then and twist it around for their purposes. Fair enough?
That is so fair. And, you know, Kevin is he scrutinized the legislators up here for many years, and he knows exactly what the Democrats do to things up here.
Okay, good. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing more about that. And when you get that through legal, would you pop me a copy of it, please, just out of so we can take a look at that? Love to read it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll give you at least the concept of what it looks like. You know, the beginning concept.
All right.
You know.
Got a bunch of Republicans introducing legislation. This will be for 2025, safeguarding Oregon's election system. And, well, you know, I've told you about what we had down here when a bunch of foreign nationals, people who were in America legally, but they came to Southern Oregon to learn how to drive truck at RCC, and they had to get Oregon driver's licenses, and they all had ballots sent to the motels. Remember that story, right? I told you about that.
Yeah, I've heard that story many times from you saying it, and, you know, why did that happen? And obviously, no one checked the rolls.
Yeah.
No one ran through the system. You know, we have tons of people that come here legally to work or have a Social Security number that should not be voting.
Yeah.
That's part of our laws.
All right. Very good. State Representative Dwayne Yonker, we appreciate you keeping us in the loop. And, well, I hope you don't get too bored in legislative days. And hopefully the construction doesn't bug you too much there. Huh? All right.
Thank you, Bill. I'll be fighting every day.
Okay. Thanks, Dwayne. Good hearing from you. 756 on KMED, 99.3 KPXG. I really do like Dwayne because it's kind of like, you know, doesn't suffer fools. You know, Dwayne just reminds me of one of those kind of guys that he's sort of like a legislative Klingon, you know, the Klingon like, ugh, ugh.
I will pull out my Klingon sword and strike you down where you stand.
I can see him doing something like that. You know, he would play a great Klingon in a Star Trek Next Generation movie, you know? All right, it's 7:57. I like that. It's good. It's actually a compliment, okay, rather than the typical Republican that seems to be minted quite often in the state of Oregon, where we want to, you know, I'm here to reach across the aisle and pass tampon in the boys' room bills, you know, things like that, because we have to be progressive in order to get more Republicans elected. Yikes.
When was the last time you had your well water